Good afternoon, morning, or evening. This is your GM slash host slash wingman, Jordan Quiverns here. Thank you for listening to this special episode of Three of Hearts. It is the first of a Patreon-exclusive miniseries called Kin's Embrace. If you're hearing this message, you're not listening to it on Patreon, which is totally fine. I wanted to leave this message here to say that even if you don't plan on listening to the full series, I would recommend this episode. One of the reasons I want it to be in the main feed is that the first scene in particular ties into some events from the main plot. Not plot essential by any means, but plot interesting. And I also wanted to say that this is a fun time and you should listen to it even if you don't plan on listening to the full thing by becoming a patron. But if you do want to become a patron for as little as $1, you will get the rest of this series over the course of the next few months. A bunch of other wonderful content, including our Vasa Obscura four-part Quiet Eater miniseries, my now complete 22,000-word novella about Josepha and Anya dealing with relationship problems in a hotel that's experiencing a magical hurricane. You get access to our gag reels. You get access to our episode zero. You get access to a fun little time-lapse thing of Ela drawing the podcast art. It's a great deal. You can pay $1, or you can pay as much drop money as you want per month, and we would super appreciate it. And we are also doing a thing on our Patreon now. You can buy certain products individually if you don't want to commit to a monthly subscription. The two things we have right there now are the aforementioned Vasa Obscura miniseries and Tempest in the Teapot, which is my novella. You can get them for $4 and $5 respectively. Or, again, for any price of your choice as a monthly patron. I expect at some point that this series will also be available for standalone purchase, and you can find all of that at patreon.com/threeheartscast. Whatever choice you make regarding Patreon, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy this episode. It's a fun time. We have a special guest. We get some throwback character from episode 2 of the main show. It's fun. You'll love it. Enjoy. Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Welcome to this bonus episode of Three of Hearts. That may or may not be for Patreon. If it is, thank you so much for donating to thank you so much for contributing to our Patreon. We love and appreciate you, unless you don't want to be loved by us, in which case we merely appreciate you and think you're a great person.
If this isn't on Patreon, we probably still love and appreciate you.
Yeah, but we definitely do if it is on Patreon. Yeah, this is a one-shot in the world of the podcast, and we have a special guest, whose name is Hera.
Hello there.
Wow, that's Hera.
Hera, do you want to tell us what pronouns you use, and if there's anything that you want to plug, or if you want folks to go look at something?
I don't have anything I want to plug quite yet, but my name is Hera. My pronouns are she, her, or they, them. I tend to lean towards she, her. I won't really get upset if you mess up, because I know what my voice sounds like. But, yeah, there you go.
As the token cis person on the podcast, I'll get upset. I'll come to your house, and I will hold up a sign that says, "I'm very disappointed in you," outside your window, until I've registered good on my feel bad-o-meter that you feel bad. So, don't fuck it up.
Good.
Yep. Before I even get to what this episode is even about, we're going to do a little scene with Hera.
Okay.
Hera, can you talk a little bit about Mags the Gun Witch?
I can.
Just let us know, like, what's her deal? Where does she live? Those are kind of what I want to know right now.
Mags the Gun Witch she would see herself primarily as a wizard or a witch, whatever. I don't think she really cares about which term you use. She doesn't connect any of her identity to her gun, even though it is, you know, attached at the hip, essentially. she sees herself sort of as a research wizard. And she lives in a tower in the woods. She's around 200 years old. She's been around for a hot minute. And I think she has a little bit of a reputation in the magic user community. Whether or not that reputation is good is not really important to her. I don't know how in depth you want me to go. Like
that I think that's sufficient for now.
Okay.
I'm curious. So she's an elf, right? Because she's 200 years old. What does she look like?
I have to be careful here because I have to like not make her look like Loop. Mm-hmm. But she is probably about average height for a cis woman, which she is actually not. But so she's about, I think that's what, 5'5", 5'6", something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She is kind of skinny. She nearly at all times has on a pair of goggles, either on her forehead or actually wearing them. Sometimes over one eye and the other one not. And a fake beard, like a clearly fake beard, like
incredible.
Pulled on little like obviously fake things. It doesn't even look like human hair. Even look like human beard hair.
Like a bad mall Santa style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She wears a set of wizard robes, or they were clearly wizard robes, of the classic blue with the stars and moon style.
Oh, love that.
But they have been in use for so long, and she has not gone and replaced them for so long, that they're kind of tattered, and they're kind of bathrobe length at this point.
Does she have a conical hat?
Oh, yeah. A wizard has to have the conical hat. It's okay. Proper. It is right. That's also the reason for the beard. You have a wizard has to have a beard. A wizard has to have the conical hat with the wide brim, with a little like bend in the hat as well, like you know, towards the top. It has seen better days. Actually, all of her clothing has seen better days. It's not just you know being worn to ribbons. There's scorch marks. There's like there appears to be very selective water damage, like in. It's very strange. There's one or two unidentifiable stains, and I don't mean unidentifiable as in like it's just generically like a little bit brown. I mean like it's stained, but you really don't want to know with what. Like it looks a little. It doesn't look dirty. It just looks a little. Looks very well used, I should say.
Like a cartoon mechanic.
Cartoon
mechanic's overalls. With worse stains.
What's her gun?
Oh, so I'm going to use a word that comes from Russian that we just sort of took. And in Russian, it means one thing, and in English, it tends to mean another. It's called an obraz.
Okay.
And in English, that tends to refer to a particular type of rifle, which is a Mosin Nagant, which is a very big rifle that has been cut down to be about... like a foot and a half long.
Okay.
If that. So the stock has been cut. Imagine like a sawed-off shotgun, but like for a bolt-action rifle.
Love it.
It is covered in runes, some of which appear to work and some of which don't for whatever reason, except for the internal box magazine, which is completely devoid of any kind of runes or magic writing, because that is where she keeps her snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Are the runes, like, painted on or carved into it, or...?
A mix of both, actually. That's a very good question. Thank you for asking, because I hadn't thought of that.
Okay, I have one more question.
Shoot.
Before I really get into your scene. Do you think it's safe to say that she lives in, Silvala, the huge forest that's, like, kind of small country-sized, that is where Vossenator is located?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Okay.
She'd be located relatively close to some sort of settlement, the size of which does not particularly matter to her, but it would be like you could walk from the settlement to her tower in probably less than a day. You can make it there in the day just fine.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's, you know, you were going to spend all day walking or if it's you'll be there by noon.
Sure.
But it's got to be close enough that she can go into town reliably for supplies and not wig out. And
okay.
But she's far enough removed from the town that it's easy to forget that she or the town exists.
Fair enough.
So she's like in like the rural, like a rural area outside of a suburban area rather than like a prepper in the middle of the mountains.
I think that's about right. Like she's not in a bunker, you know, in a cave somewhere. She's mm-hmm. they're sort of like she shows up in town and they're like, oh, right, you exist.
Mm-hmm. OK, well, then I think I would say, since we're in Silvala and like kind of established territory, I think I would say near Cindershore. I think I like that as the town that you can walk to.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense to me.
You know, it's important to be able to go visit the ocean when you need to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck off.
Lots of magic in
sorry,
the ocean.
Sorry, sorry. That's really hurtful to SA. Every time I go to the ocean, I send SA a photo. And or a video of me saying hi to the ocean and the ocean saying hi back.
I can give you a Greek quote that means hello ocean.
It's true, that would be meaningful to me. I would recognize that, but you don't have to. That's another time. Another time.
I can't handle having two S's on this podcast. It's too much. too much of a good thing, for the record.
Yeah, it's like eating cake for dinner every day.
Uh-huh. Which I do. Here's my real starting question for your scene. The start to the statement. Hera, Mags also wears on her person a bullet on a chain.
Mm-hmm.
What would her day look like if the bullet went cold?
I think it would start normally. She mm-hmm. would get up very groggy. I don't think Mags is someone who sleeps particularly lightly. I think she sleeps like a stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she wakes up about as well as one as well.
Uh-huh.
And she would start going through her day, and she would sort of start, I think she would start to immediately realize that something's off, but given that she's up and moving, her brain won't wake up for like another half an hour, 45 minutes. But what's happening is she's constantly, she doesn't really take the bullet off of the chain or the loop or whatever it is, but she does constantly check it, like, you know, sort of self-consciously touch it. And so over the course of, you know, an hour or so, she's constantly touching it and thinking to herself, something's wrong. But her mm-hmm. brain is not really answering phone calls at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually she realizes, hey, this is normally a lot warmer than it is.
Mm-hmm.
And she would investigate. She'd pull it off. She'd run it through whatever tests that she needs to, whatever the magical version of a microscope is, which uh-huh. she probably has a magical microscope. Let's be real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have magic goggles.
Yeah, I have magic goggles. Investigate with the goggles immediately. Investigate with the magic microscope afterwards, and then I think she would try to track its connection to its former connections.
Yeah. So can you flip investigation, no, intelligence and either arcana or investigation, your choice.
Well, I'm going to go intelligence and arcana. It's a one card difference, really. Okay. Intelligence and arcana would be 8.
Okay.
Plus 1 for being healthy.
Yep. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, this is a bad start.
Because the Joker right there.
My first card was the Joker. Yes, correct. Great. Second card's an ace of spades, then a 10, king, 9, 9, jack, king, and then jack. So that would be 4 successes and a joker.
Okay.
Or no, 5 successes, because the ace is a success, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Faces and aces. All right. So I think the joker here is that Mags finds out pretty quickly exactly what it means, which is probably not ideal for her, which is definitely not ideal for her, because Mags, you learned that, I was gonna say the bullet's former owner, that's not accurate, the person you shot with this bullet once upon a time, Merim Felspar the First, has died.
Yep.
And you are feeling very certain about this as you test it.
Hey, Hera, quick question. What the fuck?
This was kind of my idea based on some, well, like Hera had a vague backstory and then I helped make it specific, which led to some interesting ties.
Good.
Oh yeah. Good. Oh, it'll be very fun.
Uh-huh.
How does
Hera
specifics.
Feel about this knowledge? Or sorry, Mags. Yeah, feel
I was about to say,
knowledge.
Hera feels fine.
Yeah.
Mags, I think, discovers that. And is like, Mags sees this and is immediately like, well, that can't be right. No. And like immediately starts like double checking it, triple checking it. And I think around the fourth or fifth time, she's like checking her calculations, checking her math, whatever uh-huh. wizard math looks like, uh-huh. Is just like, you know, sitting there like I'm doing, like rubbing her hands and. Uh-huh. Pacing and going, okay, so that's a problem. It's a problem for me. Can I tell approximately where this happened? Or do I know where, I don't think Mags would think of, Marin Felspar the first
as Veracity.
As Veracity. I think she would think of them as Merim. So yeah. I'm sorry if that gets confusing.
No, because we don't call the other Merim, so it's fine.
There you go. Can I tell which direction it happened in? Like, which direction Ooh. They were in when it happened? Or do I remember, like, what cities they might have been operating out of?
I mean, for 5 successes, that's a lot. I think, so you would know that they were involved with Chrysalis, that they were a prominent member of Chrysalis. And I would just say, like, you kind of know through the grapevine that there was, like, some issues with Chrysalis in Cindershore. Maybe you were you went into town, like, a day or two before and heard
yes.
Some of the hubbub.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, is I've been in town recently and somebody was saying something and she was like, huh, weird. And,
Yeah,
definitely not my problem at all. And, went back to the woods to do more research. So knowing this, she's like, well, God damn it. This is earlier than I would have liked to investigate a few things. And so she like gets on her traveling gear, which is pretty much what I just described, as well as a pair of boots that tie themselves because she got bored of tying them, and sets out to Cindershore to find out what the hell is happening.
And when you open your door to leave your tower, do you think it's safe to say that Mags loses track of time a lot?
Yes, incredibly.
Okay. When you started doing your test on the bullets, it was like early afternoon. It's currently sunrise, and you don't know if it's sunrise on the next day or the day after. You don't really know exactly.
Correct.
And you open the door, and you see someone you haven't seen in quite some time. Musical mega sensation Diamond standing in your doorway.
Hey Jordan, quick question. Uh-huh. What the fuck?
I think Mags is sort of like stunned and then immediately tries to cover it and then is immediately like, I don't want to deal with this. And so just launches into this sort of like
valid.
This sort of like standard.
I don't want to deal with Diamond either.
The standard sort of customer. I am sorry, we are not taking customers right now. I do not have the time. Now, if you could please move aside, I have things to do. I am the great wizard Mags. I am very important. Please get out of my way.
Uh, Diamond, who by the way is holding like a small like clamshell style like box, says but no, it's more like maybe like briefcase sized. She said, or they say, I don't think you'll be too busy for this, Mags.
I'm sorry, do I know you? Have we met before?
I think it's so hard.
I don't think I recognize you. Doing the thing that, like,
oh my god, like
she knows Diamond would fucking hate.
Yeah. Diamond takes a deep breath and says, I'm trying to be sincere for the second time in as many days, and that's really taxing on me.
When they say sincere, Mags's eyebrows shoot to the top of her eye. Like, by the way, she's not good at lying. She's very clearly, like, I know who you are, I'm just fucking
with
you.
Yeah. Diamond, I think, gets what's going on.
Yeah.
And says, may I come inside?
There is a long pause. like a long, like, calculating, like, she has gone somewhere in her head, kind of like, I don't, fine. 10 minutes. And, like, leads them into her, the nicest room in her tower, which is the living room, and it's the nicest room because she doesn't live there. It is still covered in half-assembled magic items and, like, experiments that are, like, clearly still going, but, like, whether or not attention has been paid to them recently is not super clear. If you've ever been to someone's house and that person is really into a particular hobby, whether it's computers or, like carpentry or something like that, and that person doesn't have, like, a dedicated space, this is what's happening. Uh-huh. It's exactly what's happening. With the same amount of, like, if I touch this, am I gonna die? there's, like, a coffee table with, like, two different things on it, and, like, whether or not they're experiments or they were forgotten is really not clear. Uh-huh. But there's space to put a case down.
Yeah. Yeah, Diamond sets down the case and says, I'm sure you, being you, you already know this.
Yes.
But Merrim is dead.
I was hoping that I was hoping that I had made a mistake.
I don't
often make mistakes. At least not with this. I mean, I've made mistakes. It's not important. I was hoping I had simply accidentally severed the connection, or maybe had done something that I had forgotten. I don't like hearing it confirmed.
Diamond nods and says, I don't particularly like confirming it.
I don't like you confirming it.
And I don't like seeing you at all, but here we are.
I can't say I'm fond of you either.
Well, I'm not here to make amends or anything.
Good.
But, I just thought, and they open the briefcase, and there's an urn inside, and they say, that's their remains.
Mags freezes completely.
Hera and Jordan, and I swear to God, if you unalive Veracity, I'm driving separately to both of your houses. And I will not just stand outside your home with a sign that says I'm very disappointed. I will lean over you while you sleep and whisper into your ears how disappointed I am. And then I will go drive to Ela's house and make Ela teach me martial arts so then I can drive back to your houses and kick your asses. Consider yourself one.
That's weirdly inefficient.
Yes, seems, well.
I was going to suggest that you pick me up before you go and do that, but yeah.
Yeah, do you want a sign? I'll make you a sign.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll make me a sign and then I'll teach you martial arts and then we'll go kick both their asses.
All right, good plan. I'm getting in my car.
While Mags all right. is while Mags is processing, Diamond says, there was really no way that I was going to give this to Luna. And also, last I heard that she's incarcerated. So...
Okay, real quick. Is it all right if I just say something that's... I don't know if it's canon, but it's probably canon.
Sure. Uh-huh.
As soon as Diamond's like... Luna's in prison, Mags like just throws up her arms like, again?
Oh, for sure, canon.
She was in prison last week. It was not last week.
No, Diamond's like...
Reader, it was 75 years ago.
Yeah. Diamond's like, well, until the other day, she hadn't left Clovenheart in a better part of a century. So it definitely wasn't last week.
Then what have I been doing? Hold on, what year is it?
We don't know. Anyway.
Okay, well, that's later than the last year. Oh, great. Excellent.
Diamond says, I'm sorry. However, nothing had changed. They were going to kill a lot of people. And someone else killed them first. Actually, Felix's son, with some help.
Wait. So, Mags is just sort of still staring, cannot look away from this urn.
Mm-hmm.
And is like, I know they hadn't changed. I know. But, wait, Felix's son? Hang on, isn't he like 4? How did Miriam lose a... What? Shouldn't the kid be off doing kid things? What kid things are popular these days? Is the hoop and the stick still popular? Is that like... That's still big with the children?
Max, I haven't been a kid in almost 600 years, so fuck if I know.
Okay.
What they're up to. But what I can tell you is that Felix died almost 30 years ago. So his son, or their son, certainly isn't 4.
Okay, yeah, that checks out.
Do you still want to cure vampirism?
I don't know. I should.
I might have a lead on that, but I need you to do me a favor first. Well, I don't... It's not me. It's... Okay. You would have known her as General Thorne. Last time you probably left your house, that was what she was going by, but
she's governor. Yes, I remember General Thorne. She's a governor? Okay. God, no.
Yes, she has been for about 20 years now.
Do I have to talk to her?
No. Well, yes, probably.
She's always so...
Weirdly hot.
Yeah.
And
I have such conflicting feelings about her.
Everyone does. And Diamond says, if it helps at all, she gathered these and gestures at the urn.
I'm so sorry. That's a great image in my head. Like, I can't really imagine things real well, but I do have an image of, like, stern-faced, like very statuesque woman just like morosely sweeping up ashes in a theater.
I think there's like no way it's 100% accurate. I think you probably had someone else do it.
Oh yeah, that's fair. But I do like the image of like Thorne being
yeah,
like,
no, it's really good. She was definitely too busy chasing fugitives to do that.
Right, but she took credit all the same. That's fine.
Yeah. Diamond says, I don't even know what the gig is. But from what I understand, I don't know what you know about the world outside this tower. You didn't really know much about it even before.
I know plenty about the world. Thank you very much. Let's see here. we're up to what, 3 masts on our ships? No, it was more than that. Okay, never mind. Okay, point taken.
There was, until about 2 days ago, an organization called Suits that deals with magical phenomena. I know you know that there's not magic anymore. I'm sure you're acutely aware that the untethering happened, and...
Ice cold. Yes, I'm aware.
So, Suits deals with magic because there's no magic users to do it, right? And Governor Thorne, in all her infinite wisdom, broke up Suits. And here we are, less than a week later, less than half a week later, she says, uh-oh, there's a magic situation I need dealt with. And she wants a magic expert, and you're a magic expert. and you're one walk away from, you're a day's walk away from where I was, so yeah. That worked out too.
Mags is like pretty conflicted because on the one hand she doesn't want to like deal with this person. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's sort of the play stupid games get stupid prizes of like the magical world.
Right.
You do away with your magical experts and then you have a magical problem and you're like, oh no, I need a magical expert. And you're like, yeah. Well, you had one. Or several.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I gotta know. She's very reluctantly, it's like, yeah, I'll do it. Damn. What is it? What do I need to do?
And so we cut away to,
I'm getting a team together.
All right. We are in Fossa Natura, and specifically, we are outside the Fossa Natura's treasury, which is a... So, Fossa Natura was once destroyed. See our Patreon series, Fossa Obscura, for details. And parts of it were rebuilt. And so there's kind of like an old Fossa Natura and like a new Fossa Natura, a Neo Natura.
Not one of my favorite animes from the late 90s.
Wait, was that a Neo Tokyo reference?
It was a general anime reference. I've been listening to the Waypoint series on Evangelion. And so it's on the brain.
I do want to talk to you about that, but not right now.
We're in Vossa Obscura. No.
No.
Where are we?
We're just in the we're in the rebuilt part of Vossa Natura. So it's like a bunch of elven architecture, which is very very wooden. It's like wood integrated with like stonework as well, and done like built via magic, so that there are still like branches coming off the wood on some of the buildings. Like it's like almost like they shaped trees to create like the pillars of the building. So anyway, we're outside the treasury. All three of your characters were told to be here for the job. Ela and Essay, can you introduce your characters? We'll start with Essay.
With me?
Oh, sorry, you're literally chewing on something. That was rude.
No, that's fine. I'm on a podcast. This is, I knew what I was, knew what I was signing up for.
Brennan Lee Mulligan moment, go on.
Yeah, well, yeah. I do have almonds around here somewhere.
I was going to say, you gotta get the almonds.
Yes. Hi, hello, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. Today on this very special edition of Three of Hearts, I'll be playing Darla, who you may remember as the shark woman from episode 2. I've decided she uses she, they pronouns. And per Jordan, she is, hang on, I took notes, a beefy woman with shiny skin and no hair.
Mm-hmm. Wow, well done.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
How is she dressed? Is she dressed like very utilitarian, or is she just like in a ball gown? Because I want, now that I've said it, I want the ball gown.
You can want the ball gown, but we are on record as Darla being like a classic butch. Like carabiners are not a fashion statement, I think, yet, but like she looks like a woman who knows her way around a carabiner. Oh, wink.
She has carabiners. She has, there's no way.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that they exist as a fashion statement. I think the flagging is a little more subtle still. But yeah, she's wearing like what could easily be mistaken for like workman's clothes. It's not clear what kind of work, but like mm-hmm. she looks like probably she should be holding a wrench. You know, very like, oh yeah, I'm I'm maintenance. maintenance for what? What kind of maintenance? Maintenance for where? She doesn't have to tell you shit.
She has that look that says, I can get into this room. I belong here because you idiots fucked up something. And now I have to spend my whole day fixing it. And you're just sort of like, you know what? It's better to just not stop her.
No, she has a look of, I can get into this this room because I'm like 6.5 feet tall and like 350 pounds. And if you try to, it'll take at least two of you to stop me from doing whatever the fuck I want because I'm a shark. Although she is mostly not sharked at this moment. Even in her non-shark, she's still a little sharky, a little gray.
Like the sharp teeth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just one row of them instead of many rows until she, as Jordan puts it, hulks out.
Ela, you're also playing a character from episode 2 of our podcast.
This is true. Hey everyone, this is Ela Alexi. Today I am playing Edmund.
Sekitan, no, I'm joking. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh man, I would love to play Sekitan.
Don't make Sekitan deal with Mags.
That's another episode, maybe. So I am playing Edmund today, a.k.a. Goo Boy.
Uh-huh. Shark Girl and Goo Boy reunited.
Uh-huh. We finally got the band back together.
Yeah, is it too late, Jordan, is it too late to go back and say Darla has a bitchin' eye patch from having fallen off of the monorail and through every tree on her way to the floor?
No, not at all. I think that's great.
Okay, yeah. Bitch and eye patch and like a little and like a scar that extends like on either side of it.
Yeah, I don't think we ever addressed this on mic, but we realized after recording that episode that the train she fell off of was over the trees of Silvala. And so she didn't just hit the ground. She fell a long way to the ground.
Yeah, I think it made it on mic. I was adamant that she didn't die. And so
yes.
Now 2 years later.
Here she is.
My efforts have borne fruit.
Edmund.
Can you believe we've been doing this show for 2 years? Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, Ela.
Edmund is slim. He's very well put together. I think he's got a nicely fitted suit that he wears. I imagine his hair is slicked back. He's got a general kind of oily, slippery look to him because, I mean, he's a goo boy, so that's kind of what I've got. I think he'd be the type to maybe wear a monocle.
Okay.
If we're just going to talk about eye accessories.
Yeah, so he and Darla are, like, coordinating. It's not exactly matching.
Yeah.
And Mags has goggles, so we really all have unique eyewear coming into this session, which is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second Mags sees that one of them's wearing a monocle and the other's wearing an eye patch, she's just like, so was that planned, or?
No.
Okay. You're very tall.
Yes.
All right, fine. Don't talk to me. Great. Excellent. I'll just do my own thing over here, huh? And then finds out that they are working together.
Darla isn't one for conversation.
I am.
I'll say it's like 7 a.m. It's like really early.
Oh, okay. Well, then in that case, Mags is not this trooper.
I mean, did Mags sleep the night before? Like, is it like functionally 7 p.m. for her? Is she on the Hera schedule?
Yeah, I think she may like Diamond left and she may have like spent an hour or two just staring at like the jar and then like collapsed on her couch. And then woke up and started traveling. So, gotcha. Yes, I think this is probably the middle of her day, I think.
Just behind you guys, there's like a canal. Because there's many man-made canals that run through Vasa Natura. And I don't think there's non-made man-made canals. Isn't a canal inherently man-made? Anyway. there's work traffic in the form of boats going through town behind you in the morning. Definitely people are probably there's some looks going at Darla, both like, wow, that's a tall woman, and wow, that's a tall woman.
She has her arms crossed and is scowling at everyone and everything, and is chewing on, it'd be a toothpick if she was like a normal sized person. It's like a small branch, kind of.
Uh-huh. Amazing.
Update on canals, artificial waterways, or a tubular duct in a plant or animal, such as the ear canal.
Okay, so I can specify a man-made canal, but you could also have a man-made ear canal.
Yep.
So I'm going to say a man-made water canal.
Yep.
Just for clarity's sake.
Good, good.
thank you, local researcher, fact gatherer essay.
Specifically on ways, places of water, between this and the gorge.
Yeah.
Ravine talk. From episode 34, yeah.
yeah, I mean, probably a lot of everyone's wondering, like, what are these three weirdos doing outside the treasury at 7 in the morning as they're going to work? But no one's thinking that hard about it.
No one in this group looks normal, right?
Yeah. And then the door to the treasury opens, and an elf woman with a mohawk is standing in the doorway. She's very ahead of her time, I guess. They didn't have mohawks in the 50s in regular fashion, did they? I mean, it was always not. It was never regular fashion. Anyway. No.
She could have a pompadour.
A pompadour's good. It's a woman with a pompadour.
Okay, there is nothing. I'm so sorry. There's a butch woman with a pompadour is like one of the hottest things. I swear to Christ.
Yeah. Uh-oh, she's chomping Darla's flavor a little bit, except with the pompadour.
Meeting of the minds.
They share eye contact for a moment, and she turns to you all and says, she has like a little clipboard, and she's like, is Darla present?
Yes.
Is Edmuth present?
Yes.
It's so interesting, there's no last name given for you two, but this last one, I'm reading verbatim, is Mags the Gun Witch present?
That is, in fact, me. Yes. And it's a title. Thank you very much.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
My last name is Radiostatic.
Haven't been inoculated by the voice fish. She says, well, the governor will see you now. Right this way.
Excellent.
And she leads the three of you into the treasury through some office-y type parts and into a room with, like, it's like a wide area. Each wall of the room, that's not the one you came from, is a giant vault door. Each with like a different sort of looks like way of opening it. One does have like the huge giant like wheel style handle you might see in like a cartoon. One appears to be some old magical technology, like a handprint scanner situation. And then the other one, the side of the door has like at least a dozen different locks on it to get inside.
Mags is like stopping every couple of feet and like checking through her goggles and like looking at everything that's magical. Like, in the most infuriating me at a museum kind of way. Just sort of stops and investigates, and they're like, keep going. Walk. Continue walking, please.
How tall? Oh, we covered that. Mags is like 5'6"?
Yeah, like 5'5", 5'6", somewhere.
Okay, yeah. Darla's walking behind Mags, and every time she stops, Darla just, like, bumps her forward.
Can you give me a wit investigation to see what you detect doing that? Minus one flip from Darla's interference.
Okay. Well, that would be 6 plus one for health, minus one for Darla. Okay. I look forward to saying minus one for Darla a lot.
Yes,
that's
good.
One jack, and that's a three of hearts. Great. I definitely wanted to use that this early on.
That's the name of the podcast.
So that would be a jack and a three of hearts, and that's it. I definitely wanted to use my crit right now. Definitely.
What's your crit?
I can't remember how you judge the crit.
But charm plus one.
Charm plus one?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Two.
Hey! I think we all are one charm character.
That makes a lot of sense. Two total successes? Three total successes?
Correct, yes.
For three successes, you see, first of all, that various, like, office equipment, like pencils and even some binders are magical here. But most notably, the big vault with, like, the big circular handle is, like, the whole door is magical. And then you do see on that other, the other one I described, where there's, like, a small, like, keypad and, like, hand scanner that is magical.
Yeah.
Nothing else, like, is, like, strikes you as particularly magical.
Okay. I didn't really need a list. It was just sort of flavor.
Yeah, I know, but...
She would be making notes, but it's kind of hard to when you're being jostled by a 6.5-foot shark lady.
I'll also say, when you enter this room, that the farthest one, the one with the circle handle, is open when you get here. And it is empty. There is nothing in the vault other than Governor Thorne, who, just to restate for this episode, is a human woman with long purple hair, not particularly skinny, kind of muscly, never not having a spear on or near her person. She's dressed in like a pantsuit situation right now. Welcome to the Vossa Natura Treasury. Thank you so much for responding to this summons. Not that Darla and Edmuth had that much of a choice, given their status as criminals, people that I could easily blackmail. But Mags, thank you for making it out here.
Yeah, no problem. Fake cheeriness all the way.
Uh-huh. How's everyone doing this morning?
Oh, it's morning. That explains a lot.
Good.
And Edmuth?
Just peachy.
I'm not well at all, actually. In fact, to be totally forthright with you, my close confidants, / blackmail laborers and strange witch woman, I've been pulling my hair out for days, wondering how the fuck this happened.
Good.
Good?
Yup.
I mean, yeah, I mean, clearly you still have plenty of hair.
I think Edmuth snickers.
If you've been pulling your hair out, I mean, you still have quite a bit, so it must have been a problem.
Essay is having this intrusive thought that Darla would not have, and I'm very sad about it because she has one intelligence, which is, I badly want someone to grab the vault door and just swing it the fuck shut on her.
Mags is thinking about it. It's okay.
Good, good, good.
Governor Thorne pulls out a little, like, tape recorder and plays it. Or, sorry, not plays it. Presses the record button. Says, I'm currently recording everything. I just want to get on the record here. Darla, do you consent that what I say here will not leave this room?
How big is this tape recorder?
It's very small. Palm-sized tape recorder.
But edible is what I'm hearing.
Uh-huh.
Darla's eyeing the recorder. Yep.
Hold on. I'm flipping for Governor Thorne.
I love Darla. I do, while Jordan is flipping, I do want to say, like, the second that tape recorder comes out, Mags' goggles are immediately back over her face, and she is, like, staring at it like, what is it? It's not magical. What?
It moves. It's not
magical.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. Was there a crank? There's no crank on there. So, like, the first, like, 30 seconds are completely unusable because it's Mags, like, doing that.
I say, before I reveal my number of successes, what do you think is the number that she would need to see what Darla's up to, or do you want to flip something?
I'll flip just because Darla's stats are so bad?
Okay.
What would you like go ahead. Me to flip?
I guess like presence sneaking?
Oh, hell yeah. I can do that one, actually.
I was going to say, I feel like Darla probably always looks a little hungry.
Presence is 4, sneaking is 2, so that's 6.
That's her secret. She's always hungry.
Always hungry.
Yeah.
And 1 for healthy makes 7. One success.
Oh, okay. She got the Governor's Throne got 2 successes. So she sees Darla eyeing the tape recorder, kind of sees gears turning behind her head or in her stomach, and doesn't comment on it. And then says, Mags, do you consent to being recorded? And do you agree? No, sorry, you don't have a choice on that one. Let me rephrase the question. Do you agree to keep what I say in this room a secret?
So this thing records? Yeah, yes. Sorry, yes.
Yes, it records. Glad to see you've been staying up to date with the world, Mags.
I am plenty up to date. Thank you. Ha!
Edmith, do you agree that nothing I say will leave this room?
If it means we can get the job done faster, then yes, Belladonna. I agree.
Okay, and I, Governor Thorne, agree that should this job be completed to my satisfaction, Darla and Edmith will be pardoned for past crimes, and Mags will be given the opportunity to work with me on an exciting research project.
Mags looks like she just stepped in front of a car.
And then Governor Thorne seizes the recording. Actually, no, she's going to keep recording. Okay. These 3 vaults contain, I would say, 60% of the currency in Vasa Natura. Or they did. Because these 3 vaults are currently entirely empty.
Yes, I noticed.
Except the one you're in. It's not empty.
That's a very good point.
She steps out of the vault and just, like, glares daggers at Darla and says, these 3 vaults are now currently empty. Is that to your satisfaction, Darla?
Yep.
I love her. Okay. I don't think Esther's ever played a character who's like a pain in the ass before, and you're really good at it.
Oh, thanks. I've been practicing.
She says, so, your job is to find it. The money.
Okay, but it's like, it's money. I thought it was supposed to be something magical.
How could this have been done without magic? This is clearly a
wheelbarrow.
Yes, a very big wheel, or multiple trips.
2 wheelbarrows.
Okay. Tunnels.
Yep.
2 wheelbarrows and tunnels.
Also, you could bribe a security guard, but like, yeah, those things.
With a wheelbarrow.
Yes. Yes, with a wheelbarrow. And like goes back to looking at Governor Thorne like Darla's not there.
Look, that's highly unlikely that someone could breach the security and make multiple trips with almost all of the currency in Vasa Obscura.
Natura? Vasa Natura?
Vasa Natura, sorry. Surely this...
You could use the wheelbarrows to get all the currency in Vasa Obscura.
Yeah, for sure. Until proven otherwise, I am designating this a thaumaturgic situation. And you...
You know...
Yes?
You know, Belladonna, there used to be an agency that would look into thaumaturgic incidents... I can't imagine that they would have, had much trouble solving this one.
Well, that agency is defunct until further notice, and you are all being deputized as members of HATS, helping in thaumaturgic situations.
Helping in? Are we thaumaturgic situations? Is that what you're getting at?
It's a bad acronym. It's a bad name. I did not agree to join this organization. I will work this case, but we are not calling it HATS.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the only one wearing a hat.
Also that.
I say again, not Darla. Helping in thaumaturgic situations is not HATS. That's HITS. Darla. Don't like HATS. Make my head look big.
Your head is big.
Darla nods. She knows.
Okay.
She is the kind of blunt where, like, if you say something that's true, she ain't mad about it. Yep, yeah, correct.
I'm trying to figure out how to make pants an acronym here. I've got protecting
pants.
Pants. So protecting something, something, thaumaturgic situations.
HATS could be helping around thaumaturgic situations.
Ooh, okay. Helping around thaumaturgic situations.
I mean, pants could have been protecting and neutralizing
thaumaturgic
situations.
That's good.
I like it. All right. So, you know what? That just happened in character. Governor yes. Thorne just brainstormed pants with all of you.
Takes a break, like, still totally serious, like, yes, well, what about this?
Yeah. Pants it is. We're all deputized.
Better. I still don't all, like it, but...
You're all deputized agents of pants. And...
I'm wearing overalls.
I think those count as pants. I do think those count as pants.
Would you like to be supplied with more traditional pants, Darla?
No.
Great.
The overalls look fetching.
Thank you.
There are, like, bags under Governor Thorne's bags under her eyes. And she just says, well, there's your thaumaturgic situation. Protect and neutralize. And she just, like, starts walking out of the room.
I thought she was never going to leave.
Darla's going to make a lunch for that tape recorder. She's snacky.
Impulse okay, control so zero.
So you're, like, assaulting the governor, just to be clear.
Oh, my God.
I mean, every chance I get, yeah.
All right, strength athletics. Or brawn athletics.
All right, brawn is 4, athletics is none. So that is 4 plus 1 for healthy is 5. Success, please.
Athletics and not melee.
Oh, good point, good point. Is it melee?
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like it's more grabbing the recorder rather than, like, decking Governor Thorne.
Yeah, you're not really trying to hit her, right? You're trying to take something from her.
With my mouth? With my shark teeth?
Oh,
Feels like...
I'll accept melee.
All right, 4 more flips.
Oh, no.
Because you said assault, so that made me think melee.
Uh-huh. For a total of 3 successes to bite the tape recorder out of Governor Thorne's hand.
Oh, my goodness.
You just, like, bite it in half and Thorne is holding the other half and it's just going to be useless.
Well, it's small, so I kind of want to. I just want to.
Just eat all of
just
it.
Just want to eat it.
Crunch. Little snack. Little snicker snack.
She flipped 2 successes, so you successfully snatch this out of her hand and eat it.
Darla does the shark thing of, like it just goes down whole.
Good.
As soon as Darla, like, snaps it up, Max is like, no, I wanted to study that. Oh, okay.
Oh my god. Okay.
Was it still running?
Yeah, I think so.
Governor Thorne's gonna whirl around and, like, beat you in the head with the blunt of her spear.
Yeah, go for it.
Don't boot her snoot.
Sorry. Hera, what was that?
So speaking of anime from the 90s, there's a song on the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack called Bad Dog, No Biscuits, which is the phrase I thought when this happened.
Mm-hmm. But Ayn deserves all the biscuits. She got 3 successes and a joker.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... What's your dodge?
1.
Okay, so 2 of the does health, you know, so your health, your infinite health that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a pretty hard bump to the skull But your skull's also pretty hard. And I imagine there's some pushback from you.
I mean, depending on how sharky she is, Darla's skull may be cartilagey.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
but you're very strong.
Squish.
Yeah, well, I wonder if it's that Thorn goes to bonk and the spear bounces back. Right? Like, it thunks into Darla, but then, like, on the backswing, basically. Like, Darla's skull is bouncier than Thorn was anticipating.
That's really funny. Okay, so Thorn gets knocked on her ass from the recoil of this.
Mag stifles a laugh.
Darla says, huh.
And the governor says, what did you do? I mean, I know what you did, but are you fucking in... What is wrong with you?
Hungry.
I think well, I still... Was... I think I might still have like some snacks on me if you want some.
Okay.
I go into my my pack and I pull out an entire ham.
Do you offer it to Darla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of toss it to her from like across the room.
She like, jumped like not great white. Close. Great white in a fucking R-rated movie. She like leaps for it and snatches it out of the air.
Great. Remember earlier when we mentioned something about a ham? Yeah, it's carbonated.
Darla burps.
The governor says, "We are not proceeding until I have that recording recreated."
Recreated?
As in, I'm going to fetch another
recorder
intact. And we will re-record your agreements.
What do we think the chances are that, like, Mags is recording this magically?
I don't know. What do you think the odds are?
I don't know. You know what? I think it's pretty good because if she's getting details on a case, her memory isn't always wonderful. So
that's true.
Yeah. So I think also whenever she's been taking notes, she usually writes them down and speaks them into a recorder, but she hasn't pulled the recorder out. So she's like, fine, here, and pulls out, like, I'm trying to think of what kind of device it would be.
So before tape recorders was wax cylinder recorders.
Oh.
Like, if you've ever seen Crimson Peak, that's how the first, like, one of the first wives records. It's the same technology, basically, that we make vinyls out of, but it's literally a wax cylinder, so.
Okay. Well, I think Mags may have misunderstood because it is a wax cylinder, but it's sort of a wax cylinder in like a clear, like a glass box, like a reinforced glass box that is being written on with a quill.
Okay. And it says everything said in this room?
Yes.
She says, that looks good to me. May I borrow this?
I guess. I need it back. I need my record. I need my notes. Thank you very much. And there's notes going back like a day or so. The handwriting's very, so the quill writes very small.
Okay. She takes it. She calls for the other butch lesbian in this building whose name is Grace, and Grace comes and takes the wax cylinder away.
Oh, don't put it on any blank paper. Otherwise, all the words will transfer to that.
Thank you. And she heads out. And the governor says, Darla, I know you're not bright, but you are sensible, normally. You assaulted, threatened and attempted to assault two suits agents. And the fact that they are now criminals also does not deter from the fact that you did that. You could get in a lot of trouble for that, or you can get in no trouble for that. And you are looking like, acting like someone who wants to get in trouble for that. And more, for assaulting me.
Mort no salt. Very bland.
Try eating food it next time, you barbarian.
She did.
Mm.
This is like the most annoying group to deal with. Thorn has got to have like better luck with like Cadwin and Ace. And
Seriously,
for real though. All right. Let's look into whatever has happened here.
Yeah, Thorn storms out.
Darla starts pacing and sniffing for things.
That was very funny, though, by the way. Darla, darling, that was incredible.
Darla smiles at Edmuth, who is her friend. It's a lot of teeth in that smile.
Yeah.
Mags is now snickering. Yeah. About it. Clearly about that, not about the two of you.
Yeah. No, Max is okay by Darla now. The bumps will be gentler.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, Mags is like very methodically going over the room with goggles and like a couple of other instruments, some of which I think are sort of esoterically magical and some of which aren't. They're sort of specialized in a very specific way that like doesn't really lend themselves to use in most situations. She's essentially pulled out the magical Geiger counter as well.
Would you need another pair of hands?
Why would I need another pair of hands? I can do just fine with these two. Yes. Sorry. No, you were asking to help. Can you?
I've never studied magic, but I can operate something if you tell me how.
Okay. How are you with, and she like gestures at the door, mechanical things?
Not a master of them, but I've messed around a thing or two.
Okay. Those are screws. Those are levers. That's a gear. Now, could you take a look at the door and tell me if anything weird about it, maybe? Tell me if anything weird about it.
Okay.
You know what I mean.
I'll see what I can find out.
Edith, give me a wit or intelligence and engineering or investigation.
Cool. Edith is maybe a little bit of a liar.
Great.
Intelligence or wit and investigation or engineering?
Correct.
It's going to be 3 whole cards.
Okay.
No matter how I do it. I got an ace and a queen.
Wow, nice. That's really good for 3 cards.
Yeah, it is.
It's
better than I thought it was going to be. No hearts.
Okay. So, for 2 successes, I think that's enough to determine that there's no sign of, like, forced entry.
Okay.
At least not by any sort of physical means.
So it doesn't look like anything has, like, extra wearing from being broken into. And it doesn't look like anything has been, like, unscrewed and then rescrewed back in.
Yeah, not that you can tell.
Okay.
Everything appears to be in tip-top shape.
Does anything smell like it might be, like explosives might have been used?
Ooh, I love that. Can you give me...
Probably
can
not.
Can you give me wit? Can you give me... Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you, because you specified explosives, can you give me wit explosives?
I sure can. Wit
yes.
is 1, but explosives are 4. So that's 5. And Darla is still healthy, so that's 6 total. That is 1 success.
Okay. For 1 success, you notice that you don't catch any explosive sound, the smells.
Mm-hmm.
The smell you do sense is like pine.
I think then Darla will go over to Edmuth and sort of like nudge him so that he's pointing in the direction of where the smell is coming from and say, trees.
Mag, so you're using like your magical Geiger counter.
Yeah, which I just realized is basically what her goggles are. But I think the other ones are probably not picking up anything because they're like specifically for different types of magic and like
yeah.
But they're not really for any of the well used ones. They're for like bizarrely like niche use. Like I can't think of a good example of like an actual thing, but if it were like genres, it wouldn't be like she's hunting for rock music. She's hunting for like Finnish troll metal. Like, sure. That's okay. Yeah, like,
got it.
Yeah.
Can you give me intelligence gadgetry to operate this thing?
Okay. Well, that's 4 and 4. So I plus 1 for healthy. So that would be 9. Jack, 10, king, 7, 5. Well, I got a few successes. So that's Jack, king, and then the Queen of Hearts.
Holy moly.
Yeah. So that would be 5 successes. Because my
Max is not going to get any successes further down.
No, not at all. Not one bit. I feel like I should have shuffled this deck 7 or 8 more times.
Well, see, if you just keep flipping enough, then you get to shuffle the deck and start over again. So just you just got to keep going. Just keep going.
So how many successes was that?
That would be 5 successes, I believe I said.
Okay. So you notice Darla pointing Edmuth in the direction of a tree smell. And as you kind of, you know, bring your instruments to that area, there's definitely magic that has been used here. You would say within the last 48 hours.
Is it possible to follow the trail of it?
5 successes? Yes, I think you could.
Plus Darla's sniffer, like if that helps at all, like if we combine our
but I think the interesting thing is, and I'm gonna include Darla's sniffing in this, there is no trail. It is just contained in the vaults. But it's contained in all 3 vaults.
Is it like a small patch in each vault, or is it every vault, or all of the vaults have sort of a general?
No, it's like a patch in each vault.
The money is still here. It hasn't gone anywhere.
So I would accept with this information that you have, and intelligence arcana with a +1 flip for the pine information.
Okay, so that's intelligence arcana, +1, +1 for healthy.
Uh-huh.
Giving me 10.
Nine, 10, yeah.
You got that spar wit investigation energy.
Yeah. But only when it comes to magic.
So the opposite of spar.
Yes.
That's why, you know, you get a vellum in your life.
Come on! Hey, what? So 10 cards, I got 1 success.
Wonderful.
Do you want to use any of your drive?
Oh, I forgot to be using eclectic. Whatever, that's fine. Yeah, I'll use a drive. Okay, that's 2 successes. Excellent.
Hey, okay. How about that?
I'm happy with that.
So I'm going to ask you a question.
Shoot.
I can either give you information what type of spell was cast or who may have cast it. Which one do you want?
You can tell us how fast it's going or what direction it's going.
Well, see, I personally, as Hera, want who cast it. But I think Mags knows that. I'm trying to decide if Mags would be, like, interested in the signature of it, or if she would just be sort of lost in the investigating the magic part and decide that, like, It was who cast it or what kind was cast, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and let me actually tell you this. I'll be totally forthright. Because of Darla's detection of the pine, the who cast it is going to give you more specificity than the what spell was cast.
Okay.
And if we know if we know who, you can always go to them and then, like, get their notes specifically on what they're, how they did.
Yeah.
Literally exactly what I was thinking. Yes. Mm-hmm. Same page.
So, for who cast it, you would know that the idea of magic leaving behind a pine scent, that is a natural magic. Sort of in, like, what D&D or, you know, very common Western fantasy term would be called, like, druidic magic.
Mm-hmm.
But in this world, is pretty much the range of, is pretty much the domain of giants. We haven't talked a lot about giants in this world, but they are born of some kind of biome, and their body and also their abilities with magic are reflected by the biome that they were born in. Magic that leaves a pine scent was likely cast by a forest giant, and there is a community of forest giants not terribly far outside of Vasa Natura.
Mags stews on this for a second, and then just sort of like turns towards the door and goes, "Okay, let's go." And like doesn't explain herself and just walks off.
Yeah, Darla follows.
Edmuth will follow.
Afternoon, morning, or evening. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I don't know if we combine "Hey everyone" with the other greeting. That was weird. I didn't like that. But we're keeping it in.
Yeah, too late. You can't go back. That's the rules. It's no redos.
No redos. We don't edit this podcast.
That's a second take. It's fine.
Oh my god. Sorry. I'm going to keep this really brief. But I was just rewatching some episodes of season one of Only Murders in the Building. And once again, getting infuriated by the fact that they clearly never edit their podcast. I don't understand how that works. Anyway, there's a part where they're recording the music for their show live under them talking. It's like, what the fuck has happened? That's going to be terrible audio. Anyway.
They're not podcasters. They're Twitch streamers.
No.
Oh, my God. I haven't watched the third season yet, but I hope that's the plot. All right. They start a Twitch channel. Okay. Hi, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. My name is Jordan Quiverns. I'm the GM of this show. Sometimes I'm the wingman, but I am not trying to hook any of these particular characters up. But if it happens, that's lovely. I'm just not gunning for it. My pronouns are they, them, and I play most of the characters. My special fact today... Clearly, I haven't thought of it, but I'm going to come up with one really soon. Hold on, you're going to be so impressed. I'm going to give you a behind-the-scenes fact, and then I'm going to think of a world fact later. My behind-the-scenes fact is that Governor Thorne was supposed to get a +1 to her flip to stop Darla from the tape recorder because of catching Darla earlier, but I forgot about that. And if she had flipped one more, she would have tied Darla, and things would have gotten, would have been different. But, I liked the way it played out. That was fine with me. Mags got to be the teacher who... the student who asks about the homework. So, yeah. Someone else go.
as stated, my Mags fact is related to the fact that she has really no solid grasp of time. While she did play this up with Diamond, just to annoy Diamond, she also sometimes doesn't totally remember people. With the result that she's tried to keep up with all of her friends that she learned magic with, and occasionally just sort of visits them out of the blue. However, not all of the people she learned magic with were elves. Uh-huh. She has yet to catch on that one of the people from her class has died like 150 years prior.
Oh, dear.
And has continued to visit, and it's just like a new person every time, and she has not cottoned on yet. And so she just shows up like, "Hi, hey, oh, you did something with your hair. Anyways, so I was thinking about this project that I was doing with the use of garnet rather than ruby, and I'm coming in." And they're just sort of like, "Oh, God, Grandpa told me about you." Yeah.
This is what happens when people with ADHD live for like 250 years.
Mm-hmm, yes, exactly.
Incredible.
That's it. Herrit, do you want to talk about where people can find you on the internet if they want to, or do you want to remain mysterious?
I have never been mysterious a day in my life. I am mostly just on Tumblr at roxandprose, roxandprose. Yes, I realize that it's the same cadence as the Mickey Mouse Mouseketeers thing. Nobody knows what I'm talking about anyway.
No.
I do, but, you okay. know, I wasn't going to say anything.
And that'll be linked in the description.
And yes, of course, the Mickey Mouseketeers theme will be linked in the description.
Correct. You can find also any of us at the Three of Hearts Discord, which is also linked in the description. Also, I, along with 8 other people, am on Blue Sky now. If you have that, you can follow me at Jordan Quiverance.
You're up to 8 now.
Yeah, they got new members. Yeah, they got 2 new, 2 or 3 new users. It's amazing. I thought of a fact. I'm just going to come in here real quick. This is about, so Hera and I, and like throughout this week, have done some world, like, backstory building stuff with Mags. Mags had crafted a spell. Sorry, this is kind of a Mags fact, but it's also going to tie into other things. Mags had crafted a spell to, like, knock some sense into Veracity, essentially. And we realize that spell is basically identical to Vellum's signature spell from the podcast. And Hera had mentioned that maybe Mags wrote some textbooks. So it's possible that Vellum got some tips on how to craft this spell from some barely coherent textbook written by Mags.
Important question. Is the spell cast by shooting someone?
In Mags' case, I think it was.
Yeah.
That's what the bullet is from.
Bullet is. Yeah. Good.
And
good.
So Vellum maybe changed that part of the spell. Definitely changed that part of the spell.
I was gonna say no comment, but okay, yes, comment.
So yeah. yeah, like Hera came with this whole backstory about like a girlfriend that like something happened, like, and they needed to be magically knocked some sense into, and this big old tragedy, and Mag was trying to like cure them, and I was like, hey, that sounds like a lot like a character that we already have. So let's combine it.
Yeah. And I, as soon as Jordan was like, hey, what if the partner was Veracity? And I was like, was pacing, cause I pace constantly, like as just standard,
like a shark.
Yes. Like a shark, like the world's most boring shark. And I just stopped like dead, like, oh shit, that's so good. And so, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you'd also mentioned Mags possibly like knowing Luna Vella, and I was like, this all just ties together real well.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. On this podcast, I am playing Darla, no last name, who uses she or they pronouns. You can find me on Tumblr at citrusandsalt.tumblr.com, where I do post about Three of Hearts sometimes, mostly in the tags. Check my Three Hearts cast tag or my Sparkor tag if you want to be really depressed. I know my audience. And my Darla fact for today is that she thrifts her clothes, which you would think would be tough given her size. But, you know, this is Vasa Natura. Like, there are people of all sizes and shapes. Uh-huh. And so she does, you know, have stuff to choose from. But she exclusively wears, like, bowling shirts and overalls and mechanics and, like, scrubs occasionally with names embroidered on them.
I think we also, me and you, Essay, I was thinking about it for Tempest in the Teapot. You can read on our Patreon. About, like, there's like a werefolk like clothes exchange that happens near Vasa Natura.
That was, I think, somebody else, but yeah.
Maybe Ela suggested it then. Because I think maybe, oh yeah, because it was like the Kumanichi are involved in the werefolk clothing exchange. So it's very possible that that's where you do some of your thrifting.
Once again, the where lycanthropy as trans allegory is born out.
trans allegory is all I know.
Yeah, well, touche.
My life's a trans allegory, except it's not an allegory.
Does Darla do any like alterations to them? Like, quietly doesn't mention that like she can actually sew and stuff.
Yeah,
has to take in a hem as well.
Yeah. Darla can do like light clothing alterations. I think she would do it. I think she hangs out with Edmuth. Edmuth is her friend. Unclear whether she has other friends. She might. Mags might be friend. Unclear.
Tati could be friend.
Tati could be snack. Tati did switch sides in the middle of that train fight. So
that's fair. But I think it's actually either Tati recruited Darla into that or Darla recruited Tati into that, but they knew each other from the gambling rings in Vasa Obscura. I think Tati says that to Spar later in the episode.
Sure, I believe it.
Thanks.
But yeah, yeah, she does like a little bit of sewing. I think like she can do kind of some practical stuff. Her hands do occasionally turn into flippers, so like not a lot of like fine work, but I think she can work like a pedaled sewing machine.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Ela, what's up? What's good?
What's good? I'm Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. You can also find me on Tumblr at Danmei Archive if you want to talk with me about Chinese gay web novels. That's what I do.
Or live action dramas, right?
I've only posted about web novels so far over there.
Okay.
But I would be open to talking about the adaptations, whether they're live action dramas or animated donghua or whatever it is. I use they and he pronouns. Today I'm playing Edmuth, who uses he pronouns. I think he could use other pronouns too. I think we usually just default to he. Uh-huh. I don't know. I think Edmuth comes across to me as agender. He just is. I can see
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, once you can turn your body into goo, you have a weird relation to the concept of gender, I think.
I agree. Today's Edmuth fact. I don't know exactly how Edmuth and Darla first met, but I think at some point, maybe it was at a bar and a fight broke out, but Darla like took a hit for him or like pushed him out of the way or something. And pretty much ever since then, Edmuth has trusted Darla and they stick together.
I love
an
that.
Unlikely duo, but uh-huh. Yeah, there's some genuine friendship there.
That's delightful.
So nice.
Edmuth does the talking, Darla does the standing with the arms crossed to uh-huh. chewing on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so sweet and I love it.
They're
giving me like what Jack and Gregans have.
Oh, like queer platonic partners situation.
Yeah, they're giving me that. And or like that they have a metamor, that they have a paramour in common.
Yeah, yeah. Love it all. Where are you going, Mads, after you learn that this is led by the Forest Giant? Are you just walking directly to the Forest Giant community?
Oh, yeah. Directly. Immediately.
Okay. Okay. So...
no chill whatsoever.
Is this a place that we could drive to?
You could get close to it via car, and then you'd have to walk the rest of the way.
Okay. Yeah. Darla has a car. Carla. That's the name of her car. So yeah, she'll drive us. She'll drive good. Us as close as she can get.
Great.
Topsy turvy world where SA is the only one making puns.
Ooh. See, the secret is I don't mind a pun if like it genuinely works on multiple levels. That's the thing. It's like I'll like huff and puff it at Hera's puns, but most of the time like. Yeah, if you're gonna pun on a philosopher's name, that's you got that one in the bag. Like that's easy. Like candy from a baby. Yeah, yeah. I have standards. I have pun standards.
If you like try to lead Mags to the car, Mags is like immediately like, oh, can I drive? Can I?
No.
But but I really want to drive one. Darla, I've wanted to drive one for like ever since I saw one, like, you know, a few weeks. No. Ow. No. months.
Decades. Does Edmuth?
It's been 30 years. Yes.
Does Edmuth prefer shotgun or backseat?
Shotgun.
Okay. So then Darla picks Mags up and deposits her in the back seat. in the middle seat, so she can lean forward like a hyperactive dog, and continue talking.
Which she does the whole way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Driving. So you have to leave the walls of Vos and Natura. So there actually is a giant community in Vos and Natura, but so interestingly, because giants are affected by their surroundings, especially the surroundings they were born in, even if they leave that area, they're still very bound to the place they were born. Giants that were born in Union Glade, where Vos and Natura is, as it has become more urbanized, especially as Vos and Natura is now the biggest city in the world, they have transformed from forest giants to city giants, who are defined by like concrete and electrical pieces and stuff, as opposed to like wood and plant matter.
The existential like implications of that are sort of terrifying, but good. I love it.
I think it's cool as hell.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. Cool, but a little scary.
The spell would not have been cast by a city giant, so therefore it must be someone, the community that is further into the forest that has maintained their original forms. So you follow the road as far as you can, but, you know, Silvala is a big and fairly dense forest, and there are roads between settlements in Silvala, because, I mean, Vos and Natura is not the only one, but, and you know, you could drive to Withervane or Cindershore, but more secluded places, there are no roads there, and there's not a, like, deforestation, so you have to walk among the trees, not good for driving. And it's like a mile or two out from the giant community, which is called Kin's Embrace. It is a giant, giant fucking tree that is actually man-made, or rather giant-made. And it is made from wood and stone. Hold on, what do I say here? Yeah, a handmade tree of wood and stone, which there's more lore, but we'll get to that later. As the walk to Kin's Embrace, during the walk, like, what's the vibe? What are you guys doing, talking about, thinking about?
Unless you directly ask Mags what she's thinking about this, she might not touch on it. She might be talking about the car still and asking questions that Darla is probably not answering.
I mean, Darla loves her car. She's not loquacious, but she'll answer. Like, she's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, she... Sorry, from this angle, Jordan, it looked like you were sipping from a flask. And I was like, dang, okay.
Yeah, I have a bicycle card-themed flask that I just drink from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely not just, like, kind of chewing on the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, she's not loquacious, but she does answer. Like, she doesn't... Darla doesn't know that she's being rude most of the time.
Mags doesn't notice.
Yeah. But about her special interest, like, she doesn't talk a lot, but she will answer every question with the fewest number of words she can.
Darla and Ishvala need to meet if they haven't already.
And fight.
for oh, no. Car bitch supremacy.
I would say that they probably are. If Darla's really into cars, there's a good chance that they've probably met, if I would assume Ishbala is sort of into racing cars as well. Maybe
Ishbala and Darla have definitely drag raced each other at some point.
I want to believe that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, do they have a rivalry, or is it like
Ishbala, like
a friendship? Yes. And how much homoerotic tension is there?
Yes.
Well. One of them's Ace.
I think two of them is Ace.
Okay, well then.
So none.
So I was going to say, if there is any, neither of them notice it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people are out here writing RPF about them in the streets of Vos and Natura. Like, they're like full on Fast and Furious style. And the two of them are just like, car's good.
Car's good.
Oh, fuck.
Go
then
fast.
They do a handshake.
Yep.
Yep.
They're just bros. Like, that's it.
Yep.
Pretend I don't know what RPF stands for in this instance.
Real person. Real person fic.
Ah, okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I think probably like the mods for a Crocodilian and the mods for Darla when she's like hulked out shark mode are probably not dissimilar. So
yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's great. I love this.
They probably both live in a swampier section of town.
Darla looks like she could have a wrench in her hand and whatnot. Could she do some improvements and tinkering on her car?
Probably, yeah.
I like it. I like this idea.
Okay, so we're talking about cars. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, Mags has not explained I mean, she said where they're going, uh-huh. and like in a sort of like, oh yeah, we're going to a giant community. It's still there. I think it's still there. So, now, what does this run on? Is it magic or, you know, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Corn. I don't know what it runs on. It's probably solar powered, or corn. Yeah. It's one of the two for sure.
This is where all the corn subsidies are going.
What's going on with Edmuth? What's Edmuth up to?
Yeah, what's Edmuth up to?
I think Edmuth is trying to ask Mags questions when he can get a word in about what clues she picked up arcana-wise and how they might be able to fight against it. Because I don't think he has a lot of personal experience with arcana, but I don't know, like, I could also see him just kind of fiddling with a pocket knife, a little bit anxious energy.
I love the idea that maybe it starts with the pocket knife thing and then goes into asking about Arcana and what we're up against, because that's a perfect transition if that's cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so as you ask that, the air around you all gets, like, kind of viscous. And as soon as it feels like you're almost walking through jello, nothing has visibly changed. Yeah, you're definitely slowed. And before you can really get your wits about you.
All two of them that we have.
Yeah, that you have collectively. Hear like the flapping of wings, and then suddenly see perched on several trees around you are hawk-like birds that are made of stone. No, I'm sorry, I lied about that. They're made of wood. And I would say you all recognize these because they're native to the area around Vasa Natura. These are called barkbeaks. In addition to them, like that on its own, not that weird, but I mean the air thing is weird.
So yeah, I was gonna ask, is it feel physically like we're stuck in goo, or is that more like the sensation, like a phantom?
Yeah, like sensation. A phantom sensation. Like the air is hard to walk through.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like jello.
I was wondering if this was a moment when Edmuth would have to stop the world and melt with the goo.
No, that's later.
Okay. So it's sort of a taking too much Benadryl sensation rather than Don't ask me how I know that.
I'm watching for the hat man. Darla starts moving like a shark, right? Like her movements get more shark like the harder it gets to move through that air, and so she's like leading with her nose.
I love that.
And some of her sharkier features are probably starting to come out, like her gills.
Ooh, that's cool. Well, then I would say with your heightened scent that comes with that, you are hyper aware of the being approaching you from beyond the tree line, and then a forest giant emerges. A 15-foot tall humanoid with like bark on Zier arms and legs, but then Zier torso is more like fibrous and like plant-like, and so is their head, which is in the shape of like a giant leaf.
Big Korok.
Yes, it is kind of like a big Korok, as you mentioned it. And on Zier's shoulder is a creature that's actually also native to Clovenheart, but has actually never come up in the show, which is a creature called a Branch Fellow, which is a small, like, spindly humanoid, but small and gremlin-y. But humanoid in that, it, you know, it has the two arms, two legs, a torso, and a head, a vaguely human alignment. And it is holding its hands to its head, very Professor X-like, and is maybe the source of whatever strange thing is happening to you. And the giant says, Kin's Embrace has received word that the Governor's stooges are after us. You are not welcome. The bark beaks, of which there are four, lunge at the party, and that is where we will end this first part of this unnamed one-shot of Three of Hearts, which is no longer a one-shot.
Oh boy, combat. Mags is great at combat.
Look, this is what Darla's here for.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Darla and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Edmuth and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host and editor of this episode. Special guest Hera Alexander, that's me, plays Mags the Gun Witch. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Supertri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro and outro music is Shrimp Po' Boy by Louie and the Lunch Special, and our midtro music is Corrupted Comrade, Citrus Night by Louie Zong. Thank you for supporting us on Patreon. Your support means the world to us and inspires us to put so much work into this show. We'll be back next month with the next part of Kin's Embrace.
I forgot to mention at the start, but like Mags does carry her gun with her nearly constantly. Like while the bullet on the chain is always around her neck, except when like vital that she removes it or when she's studying it. But her gun is like it's closer to her on her nightstand than literally anything else. The only reason she doesn't sleep with it in the bed is that I don't think that her bed is has enough room. Not because it's too small, but because I think she's got too much shit on the bed already.